Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 15, we were taught that too often, as a Christian matures, he thinks that he is too mature to need to serve the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
You remember when you were first saved, you walked the aisle often, and, oh, you just wanted to do so much for the Lord. You wondered why they didn't have church every day. You fretted because you couldn't sing, or you didn't have a license to start driving a bus right then. You weren't mature enough in the Lord yet to teach a Sunday school class. And yet you wouldn't do all these things, and you realize, I can't do them. I'm not qualified. And you were little in your own sight. But as you grew, you started doing those things. But here's the problem, is when we now rarely respond to the invitation. We rarely walk down that aisle to pray for a soul or to thank God or whatever to deal with sin in our life. Visitation is a used-to thing. Personal devotions are hit and miss. We no longer look for work to do. We no longer look for opportunities to witness or invite someone to church. And we feel that we're too mature to do certain ministries in the church. You see, impatience is sometimes not waiting on God, as in 1 Samuel 13, or doing things your way. Show them, my way's as good as any. Many times impatience is wanting honor right now. And sometimes impatience is that we are no longer little. And it's also a sign that we've simply given up. When we give up, then we're in trouble. See, a lot of times we talk about things. For an example, idolatry. None of you would worship an idol, I don't think. Nor would we think that you'd been involved in witchcraft, you know, and just been a Satan worshiper. You say, why, man, I'd never be a Satan worshiper. I'd never get involved in witchcraft. I would never set up idols and worship them. But the Lord says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He says there's no difference. He says stubbornness. Instead of doing it God's way, you do it your way, is iniquity and idolatry. Wow. That tells us when we don't do God's will, God's way, God's not happy. Don't expect to be rewarded. That leads us into consider the fruit of the rebellion and stubbornness. Again, it is a mark of spiritual immaturity. Now, many of you set times for your children, for bed, for dating, for playtime, for supper, for homework. Usually at bedtime, they will desire to stay up longer. If they start dating, they want to stay out later. If it's homework, never do they want to do it. But aren't we the same at stretching the limits? The limit is provide things on us, but how many lie to make a sale? Get by on a Form 1040, to miss church, to not go to work, told to forgive, even as Christ has forgiven you, but we bear grudges and we grow bitter and we gossip and we slander, and malicious suspicion keeps us from that. You see, that is a mark of spiritual impatience. Why do your young people do things that you know that you've already told them they're not to do or they know not to do? For example, you don't allow them to drink. You don't allow them to go to the movie. You don't allow them to have bad companionships. They end up doing those things. Is it their desire? Is it their desire to go against you? See, they will deceive you in order to do it behind your back, regardless of your law or your love for them. Their desire to them is more important to be fulfilled than your love or law. They want to be honored with their peer group. You see, that's the sign of impatience and immaturity among young people. But so often it's the same sign in the lives of Christians. Essentially, this is what happened with Saul. Now, the problem is some parents are so fearful of their children rejecting them, they are impatient and they abandon righteousness. Trouble at school? This parent backs the child instead of authority, not realizing if they back authority, they are in the long run backing the child, because years later, those kids lose jobs and promotions because they're still trying to bend the rules. And the kids will say, well, it's not that bad. And years later, they're in adultery, they're drinking, and they're still excusing it more than once. I've had people in adultery that said, well, we just really fell in love with one another. How could it be wrong when it's not physical? We just really love one another. You see, they had to say that. They had to come to that conclusion. The devil even had to make them think that. To live in adultery and to give up and to hurt the children that were in their family. So often, when a person is confronted, their first response is, well, my husband or my wife drove me to do this. No, it was your choosing. It is also a mark of spiritual irresponsibility. We are to study the scriptures to know our responsibility as husbands, as fathers, as wives, as mothers, as sons, as daughters, as brothers and sisters. Study to know your responsibility in the local church. Study to know your responsibility on the job, and in the world, and to government. Let the Bible be your guide. You must walk with God to know, to keep, and to seek these things. It is His word in your heart that will keep you from rebellion and stubbornness. Now, let's look at the rest of the chapter here then. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Now, what has happened here is Saul says, okay, Samuel, you're right. Everything you said is right. I transgressed. My fault. I feared the people. I obeyed their voice. Pardon me. Just forgive me and turn again with me. Now he's asking Samuel to come back into partnership with him. The Lord calls us to be separate. When people are false in doctrine, we're to separate. When they're living in sin, we're to separate. That is a clear, very clear teaching of the Word of God. You see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 22. And chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Amos 3, 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And on we could go. About separation, Romans 16, 17. Those that teach contrary to doctrine. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, verses 14 and 15. 2 John verses 10 and 11. Galatians 2, 9 through 11, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, evil companionship corrupts good manners, and on we could go. The Bible teaches separation. You cannot be a holy person if you don't practice separation from apostasy and unbelief and worldliness. You cannot be separate if you do that. And so, we need to learn to walk with God. Now, in verses 27 through 29, he says, "And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to the neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Oh, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." Now, he reminds Saul, who is the strength of Israel. He lets him know, you don't get anything done without God. Samuel thinks he's done it all. When God says, hey, I'm not going to repent, it's good as done. Saul will try to change God's will and kill David, which is a fleshly act, but he will not be successful. Look at verses 30 and 31. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul. Saul worshiped the Lord. Now, things are starting to change. Now it's God's way, not fleshly. Now it's going to be God's way. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Samuel does what King Saul was supposed to do. And so Saul says, Samuel, turn around and worship with me, and let's worship, at least do this, at least pray for me. And he says, okay, but we've got to take care of business first. We're going to kill this king.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.